Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hello, and welcome to Dragonfly Tales, a story podcast with me, Emily. And each episode, I'll tell you a story from around the world and share some fun and silly things with you. It's Christmas Eve, a magical time across the world, and I'm sure lots of you might find it a bit tricky getting to sleep tonight. But do not fear, Dragonfly Tales is here with some stories to settle you. And we're very lucky this episode. We have part two of our special Christmas story, Aladdin. That's coming up soon. We also have some shout-outs to patrons too. But first, we have a guest teller. The lovely Kim from Super Great Kid Stories. Oh, we love listening to that podcast, and we hope you do too. And this story comes all the way from Argentina. Would you like to hear it? Well, here is Kim Normanton with The Owl Girls and the Witch.
Once, long ago in the south of Argentina, there lived two girls, Martina and Rosa. Rosa came from a rich family and Martina from a poor family. But no matter, they were the best of friends. And you know how it is when you have a best friend, you think you know everything about them. But it turned out this was not quite true. Martina had a marvellous secret. Shall I tell you it?
Her grandmother was a witch.
Not a mean witch with warts on her nose who turns princes into frogs, but a good witch who can really help you when you get in a scrape. Every night, Martina and her grandma would go out under the stars and sing. Cuckoo-roo-cuckoo, cuckoo-roo-cuckoo, cuckoo-roo-cuckoo-roo-cuckoo-roo-cuckoo. And caramba, the old woman and her granddaughter would turn into owls and oomph, 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 oomph. They would spread their wings and fly higher and higher and higher towards the stars. They soared towards the northern lands where the orange trees grow and where the blossom smells like paradise. One day, Martina gave Rosa a present. A bowl of oranges, sweet and round and delicious. Martina, how did you get these oranges when they grow so far away up in the north? Asked Rosa's daddy one day when they'd finished sharing the last juicy orange. My grandma gave them to me, said Martina, hoping nobody would ask her anything more. But Rosa was a little bit used to getting what she wanted. And what she wanted more than anything else was more of those delicious oranges. And as soon as they'd finished them all, she started asking. Please, 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 Martina, tell me, where can we get more oranges? Well, the days passed and the weeks passed, and Martina tried really hard not to tell her friend the secret. She really did. But how can you keep such a secret that your grandma is a witch and has taught you a spell so you know how to fly? Now, Martina's abuela, her grandmother, was very wise. She knew all about secrets. She knew that secrets can burn you and sometimes turn on you. So one night, after a wonderful flight, she called to Martina and she said, Martina, If ever you have trouble and you need help, you just call Caramba Ay Caramba and I will come. And that was just as well, because only a few weeks later, Martina finally gave up trying and told Rosa her secret. She and Rosa were eating sweetened milk out of a jar when Rosa said, "Martina, this dulce de leche is delicious, but what I really want more than anything else is more of those delicious oranges. Where can we get them? Please tell me your secret. I promise I won't tell anyone else." "They come from the far north where the orange trees grow." "But who in your family could afford to go all the way to the far north to get oranges?" asked Rosa. And before the wind could blow once round the house, Martina had shared her secret. All about her grandmother, the witch, and her flying spell. And do you think Rosa was satisfied? Well, of course not. She immediately was thrown head over heels with excitement. "Martina, please, I want to fly like a bird too. Take me to the orange orchards tonight and let's work your magic, please." Now, Martina had never turned herself into a bird on her own before, but Rosa was a very, very good friend, and it was a little bit more exciting than staying in and scrubbing the pots and pans. So she agreed, and they made a plan. That night, as the moon shone softly in the street, two little girls tiptoed towards the woods. The birds were calling and the wind was moaning in the trees. Ooh, ooh, ooh. "There's just one thing I have to tell you," Martina whispered. "Do not, whatever happens, say the words Ave Maria Purissima, because that will break the spell, and then you'll freeze and your wings won't work and you'll fall to the ground and you won't be able to fly." And Rosa agreed. Of course, yes, 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 yes. Let's go." And Martina whispered, "Cuckoo-cuckoo, cuckoo-cuckoo, 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 ready? And the two young friends grew great wide wings and long sharp talons and their round yellow eyes shone with excitement as oomph, 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 their wings took them higher and higher and higher towards the stars and the lands in the north where the orange blossom smells like paradise. Snap, plop, snap, plop, snap. Plop! One by one, the two girls plucked the juicy oranges in their beaks and plopped them into the basket below. But you know how it is when two friends get excited and they were all laughing and chattering as they flew from tree to tree until the basket was almost full and they were about to turn and begin the flight home when... Ow! A wolf watchdog raised the alarm and the farmer came running towards the orchard. All the farmer's dogs ran round and round the tree and Rosa, poor Rosa, froze with fear. "Ay, Ave Maria Purissima," she screamed. And at that moment, her wings froze and you know what happened, don't you? That's right. She fell to the ground like a stone. Ooh, bang! The dogs ran around in the dark, sniffing and growling and sniffing and looking for the bird who fell out of the tree. Martina was flying round and around and around the orange tree in total panic. She was just about to sink down and give herself up when she remembered something. What was it? That's right, the words her grandmother had told her. What were they? Would she remember? Can you remember? Caramba, ay caramba, caramba, ay caramba. And whoosh, her grandmother came, silently swooping out of the darkness she came and landed on the lowest branch of the orange tree, her yellow eyes gleaming and her talons gripping onto the branch. Abuela, you came. Quick, Martina, said Abuela. No time to lose. You must distract the dogs. So, very bravely, Martina flew down towards the dogs who were snapping and growling and growling and snapping at her wings. And whoosh! Gently the grandmother stretched out her talons and grabbed the little owl who sat under the tree with her useless wings.
Vamos, let's go!
Cuckoo-roo-cuckoo! Cuckoo-roo-cuckoo! Hooted the large owl. And the farmer looked up to see the most extraordinary sight that night as he walked back towards his house. Lit up in the moonlight, he saw a mother owl swooping over the orange trees, clutching one little owlet and another following behind. And as for those two friends, well, they never dared venture north again, but they did grow up to be orange farmers. And if you ever go to Argentina and hear that sound at night, cuckoo-roo-cuckoo, 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 you'll know who it is, won't you? And that's where that story ends.
So, listeners, did you like Kim's story? What was your favourite bit? My favourite bit about this story is the friendship between the two girls. They're quite different, and sometimes that's what makes a friendship last. I also love Kim's spell songs in this story, and I love a good witch, as you know. Thanks, Kim. And now we have some shout-outs to new patrons. Firstly, here's a shout-out to Hugh from Baltimore in Maryland. He's 6 years old and his birthday is January 15th. That's the same as Leo's birthday. He loves Ragnarok, the Giant's Causeway and the Monster of Loch Mask. Oh, they're brilliant stories. Hi, Hugh. Thanks for listening. Next, we have a shout-out to superfans and power pixies, Mila and Viola, and they're in Durham, North Carolina. Now, as power pixies, they're able to put in a request for a story, and they've gone for Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. Open Sesame! That's such a brilliant story, you two, and we will be having a go at it early next year. Hi, Mila. Hi, Viola. Thanks for listening. And finally, here's a shout out to superfan Susie and Roselle in Bluff, New Zealand. I really love that Susie and Roselle like to share their favourite bits of the story with us over on Patreon. So I thought you guys deserved a shout out for being such super fans. Kia ora, Susie. Kia ora, Roselle. Thanks for listening. Now, listeners, it is time to return to our special Christmas story, Aladdin. And I think we had left that evil magician plotting his revenge. So I think we should start as we ended before. Somewhere over the seas and plains. Somewhere over the seas and plains, the mountains and valleys, somewhere at the edge of the vast desert, in the entrance to a cave, a black crow started shrieking and cawing, flapping its hellish wings.
Revenge! 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 I shall have my revenge!
The magician used his powers and conjured up the magic smoke. And in it he saw Aladdin, grown to a man, wealthy, happy, successful. His blood boiled when he saw images of Aladdin's wedding to the Emperor's daughter, a huge 3-day festival in the city. Crowds cheering, music playing, the Princess Yasmin dressed in white and gold silk, and Aladdin, the poor tailor's son, standing by her side, his eyes filled with love. Then the magician saw a palace appear on a hill above the city, a magnificent palace with gleaming turrets, fountains and gardens, peacocks on the lawn. It had just appeared the day after the wedding, a beautiful home for the new prince and his princess. "It is impossible that worthless, penniless wretch, now a prince with a palace of his own. I smell powerful magic. That scoundrel has been using my lamp. He is master of my genie and has stolen what should be mine. But not for long. Oh, Aladdin, foolish boy, you will get what's coming to you, and I will get that lamp. Everything you possess, everything, shall soon be mine." He became a crow and flew all the way back to the emperor's city in China. Then the magician flew through the streets of the city, lurking in shadows, on rooftops, listening to local gossip, gathering information.
"I hear our noble Prince Aladdin is away with the Emperor. They've gone on to make peace with neighbouring lands."
"Oh, that's good. That's the last thing we need is a war. I haven't got time for a war.
I hope the Princess won't be too lonely up there in the palace all by herself."
So, thought the magician, the thief Aladdin has left his new bride behind. I wonder what else he left behind.
He flew towards Aladdin's palace, and when he landed, the magician transformed into an old peddler dressed in rags, selling shiny new oil lamps. He walked the streets around the palace, shouting,
"Lamps for sale! New lamps for old! Give me your lamp and get a new one in return! New lamps for old! New lamps for old!"
Now it just so happened that the princess was strolling in the palace garden, wishing that Aladdin and her father would return home safely. When she heard the call of the shabby old peddler on the other side of the palace wall,
"New lamps for old! Get a new lamp for your old one! Have you got a nasty, dented, tarnished old oil lamp sitting around doing absolutely nothing, and you wonder why your husband even has it? Wouldn't you like a nice, shiny new one? Wouldn't that be a lovely welcome home present? I'm saying this to no one in particular. I'm just a poor old starving peddler trying to earn a living. New lamps for old!"
As if by magic, Princess Yasmin suddenly thought of Aladdin's old lamp. He kept it hidden away in a box, and she never understood why he held on to it.
"It's so old and dirty, and he never even lights it. Oh, it must be broken. I could get him a new one as a wedding gift when he returns. Oh, he'd be delighted."
At that very moment, the peddler knocked at the palace gate. Princess Yasmin rushed inside, found the old lamp in a box, and gave it to her servant.
"Here, take this old lamp, go to that old peddler and exchange it for a new one. It is to be a gift for my husband. Hurry up before he leaves."
The servant went down to the palace gates with the old lamp. There stood the peddler, 20 shining brass lamps in his baskets.
"New lamps for old?"
He reached out his greedy fingers and snatched the old lamp from the servant's hands.
I've got it! I've got it! It's mine! It's mine!
Hey, what about a new lamp for the princess?
Take them all!
And he dropped the baskets to the ground and ran off back into the city.
Well, funny old man.
The magician scuttled away into the maze of alleyways until he found a place of dark shadows where no one could see him. He transformed back into himself, and with trembling hands, he held out the lamp before him.
Now, my heart's desire, you are mine at last.
And holding the lamp as gently as his own newborn child, he rubbed it. The lamp began to hum and vibrate, spark and flash, purple smoke curling and swirling out of the spout, filling up the whole alleyway, transforming, solidifying into the almighty purple genie, his large eyes the colour of amethysts.
Oh, good morning, young master. Wait a minute. Ah, I see. A new master. I am the slave of the lamp. Tell me what you wish and I will give it to you, etc., etc.
The magician squealed with delight.
Yes, genie, a new master. I command that you take Aladdin's palace and everything in it, including the Princess Yasmin, and transport it to my own land, far away from here. That is my wish.
The great genie sighed.
Oh, yes, master.
The huge genie vanished in a puff of purple smoke, then reappeared next to the palace of Aladdin and Yasmin. Then he began to grow and grow and grow bigger and mightier. He grew taller than the palace and wider than the city. His great head was above the clouds and his great feet spread like mountains. So huge was the genie now, he eclipsed the sun and the city went dark. The people of the city screamed as a great purple hand descended from the heavens and plucked the palace from the earth as if it were a mushroom. Princess Yasmin, inside, screamed as the whole palace shook and swayed. Furniture and servants went sliding this way and that as the whole palace was lifted into the air, cupped in the hand of the gigantic genie. His amethyst eyes, the size of the moon, blinked sadly as he uttered,
"Your wish is my command."
And the palace and the genie and the magician were gone. By the time Aladdin and the emperor came riding back into the city with their troops, everything had changed. People were weeping. A great shadow of despair hung over the city.
The princess is gone! She's taken!
Evil, evil devil magic has taken the princess!
Oh, great emperor, we're afraid!
This is wicked magic! Make the magic go away!
Bring back the princess!
The crowd became angry.
It's all Aladdin's fault!
He broke my favourite mug!
No, that was you!
No, it wasn't! It was Aladdin!
And as quickly as they had loved him, they now blamed him, as did the emperor. As the two men stood in the empty space where the palace once was, the emperor turned on Aladdin.
This is your fault. I gave you my daughter, my daughter, my most precious thing, and you've spirited her away. You are the most wicked and evil trickster.
No, this wasn't me. I...
Silence! You will pay the price for your evil magic. Guards, arrest this man and throw him in the dungeons to await execution.
Aladdin was seized, shackled in chains, and dragged back to the Emperor's palace. There he was thrown down into the stinking, dank dungeons beneath the palace. No light, no food, no company, no hope. He sat on the filthy ground, chained to the wall. How could this have happened? Everything was going so well. How could the entire palace just disappear? The only way that that could happen is with genie power. The lamp. Someone must have used the lamp. Yasmin? No, she thought it was a piece of junk. Then who? Then he remembered the words of that deceitful man who had claimed to be his uncle all those years ago.
Only the lamp matters.
Abenazar. So, he commands the lamp at last, and I am to be put to death. I wish the mountain had taken me back then. At least I would have died in that beautiful enchanted garden and not in this dark, stinking prison. Aladdin thought of that beautiful place at the heart of the mountain, and it lifted his thoughts a little. But I didn't die there. I survived. I survived. Aladdin looked at his hand. The ring. The magic ring. He still wore it. Not on his thumb. It didn't fit there anymore. It sparkled green on his middle finger. He completely forgot about it all these years. I wonder, he thought, and he rubbed the magic ring. It began to vibrate and glow bright green, illuminating the small prison cell until it was bright as day. Green smoke poured out of the ring, swirling and whirling, filling up all the space and then transforming into the familiar sight of the huge green genie of the ring, emerald eyes sparkling. The cell was so small the genie was sat down, cross-legged, taking up the whole room.
Oh, hello again, master. Long time no see.
The genie smiled from ear to ear. Oh, genie of the ring, it's so good to see you.
Oh, you too, master, you too. Oh, you've grown a bit, haven't you? Look at that beard. Oh, you look like a prince in a prison cell. Master, what have you been up to? Look, on second thoughts, none of my business. Tell me your wish and I shall give it to you.
Aladdin climbed up onto the genie's open hand and sat down. Genie, my beautiful wife, the princess, and our palace have been stolen by an evil man who controls the genie of the lamp. I wish you to bring the princess and the palace back to the city. The green genie's huge grin faded.
Ah, yeah, there might be a small problem with that, master.
Problem? Cried Aladdin, jumping up. But you're a genie, and it's my wish. I command you, genie. The genie shook his head sadly.
Look, I want to help you, master, but in truth, the genie of the lamp is, well, much more powerful than me. If it's his magic that's stolen your princess in your palace, I just can't undo his work.
Not strong enough. Sorry. Aladdin sank back down onto the genie's hand in despair.
But, Master, I can't exactly bring the palace to you, but...
The genie was hinting now, nodding his big head as Aladdin suddenly cried,
You can bring me to the palace. Yes, then I'll come up with a plan, I guess.
The genie was nodding helpfully as Aladdin stood up, brushed himself off and said,
Oh, genie of the ring, take me to my palace.
Yes, Master, your wish is so my command.
A flash of light, a gush of wind, a million stars zoomed past and Aladdin found himself standing in the beautiful entrance hall of his own lost palace. He looked down at the ring on his finger that was twinkling emerald.
Thank you, genie.
He was about to start searching the palace when he heard a noise and ducked behind a huge vase out of sight. Through the hallway came the magician, dressed in the robes of a grand wizard. The lamp hung on a thick gold chain from his waist. Behind him came two huge soldiers, and between them floated the genie of the lamp. His amethyst eyes looked dull and sad.
Genie, said the magician, I wish for 100 white stallions in my stables.
Your wish is my command, Master.
Oh, genie, now I wish for the finest musicians in the world to perform in the great hall.
Your wish is my command, Master.
Genie, I don't like those musicians. Get rid of them.
Your wish is my command, Master.
Now, genie, let us talk about the princess. I command you to make her love me.
Your wish is my...
No. Master, we've been through this. I cannot change the human heart. That is not within my power.
The magician spun around and glared at the genie.
That is not acceptable to me. I wish you to beat yourself for your inadequacy.
The genie wept.
Yes, Master. Your wish is my command.
And he began hitting himself on the head.
Poor genie, thought Aladdin from his hiding place. And where is Yasmin?
Once the magician had moved into the great hall...
No, I don't want Mozart and Jimi Hendrix. I want Coldplay.
No accounting for taste. Aladdin slipped through the golden corridors and made his way to the main bedchamber. He tried to open the door, but it was locked.
Genie of the ring, I wish you to unlock this door.
Your wish is my command, good master.
A stream of green smoke poured out of the ring and through the keyhole. There was a click and the door opened. Yasmin was lying on the bed weeping. But when she saw Aladdin, she nearly screamed with joy.
My husband, Aladdin, I thought you would never come. That evil man, Abenazar, he won't leave me alone. He keeps trying to make me love him. He's tried spell after spell and he reads me the most terrible poetry. And now he says if I don't fall in love with him, he'll do something awful. He's even got a genie in a lamp. Did you know about this?
Aladdin blushed.
Yes, my love, The lamp. Look, it's all right. I'm here now. Listen, my love, I have a plan. We just need to get the lamp back so I can command that genie.
But how do we do that?
With your help and the help of this.
Aladdin rubbed the magic ring and soon the emerald genie stood before them both.
Oh, this is exciting, isn't it? Okay, what's the plan, you two?
Genie, I wish for a sleeping potion. There was a puff of green smoke and a small bottle of dark liquid appeared in Aladdin's hand. Now, my love, I must ask you to pretend. Dress in your finest clothes, wait for the magician and pretend to be nice to him. Make him believe you are falling in love with him. Offer him a glass of sweet wine to drink, some wine mixed with this. He poured the sleeping potion into the glass. And then he and the green genie disappeared, Aladdin behind a curtain and the genie back in the ring. Yasmin dressed in her finest clothes and waited for the magician. As the sun set, he made his way to her room, as he had done time and time again, to bully her into loving him. He slithered towards her, stroking his oily black beard. "Well, princess, are you to love me? Oh, maybe I should read you some more of my excellent poetry."
"Oh, no, please, Abenaza, no more poems. How stupid I have been not to see how great and powerful you are, how talented and clever. I definitely think I am falling in love with you."
The magician was not convinced. "I see. How am I to know you are telling me the truth?"
"Well," said Yasmin, "you don't, but I am, and we have all the time in the world to get to know each other. I would be so honoured to hear all about your great deeds."
She flashed a beautiful smile, and the magician's vanity overwhelmed him.
"Well, yes, I am rather fabulous."
"Oh, please, Abenaza, join me in a glass of wine and tell me all your fascinating stories."
Yasmin handed the magician the sleeping potion and held her breath. The magician drank it down in one go.
"Now, princess, sit comfortably and I shall tell you all about me. You see, I was born in the land of Morocco quite a long time ago."
"Oh, really? You look so handsome and so young."
"Yes, yes, I am quite young looking. Where was I?"
"Oh, you were telling me all about your exciting life."
"Yes, I was telling you all about. I might just close my."
Soon the magician was snoring on the bed. Aladdin leapt from his hiding place and dashed towards the sleeping magician, the magic lamp gleaming at his waist.
"Aladdin," shouted Yasmin, "look out!"
The magician's two huge soldiers burst into the room, their spears flashing, their teeth gnashing. They charged at Aladdin. He rubbed the magic ring.
"Oh, genie, I wish you to help me with these guards."
There was a bright green explosion as the genie of the ring appeared in the room, towering over the two guards.
"Hello, boys,"
the guards screamed. And the genie pointed his huge finger at them, and the guards became two little goats.
Then through the doors charged 10 more huge, menacing guards with swords. Yasmin and Aladdin hid behind the bed as the green genie flexed his fingers and... Duck, 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 duck. Duck, 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 duck. Goose! Ha ha! Aladdin cheered. Oh, genie, you are brilliant! Oh, that's kind of you, master. Now get the lamp. Aladdin jumped over the bed and grabbed the lamp from the snoring magician and he rubbed.
I am the slave of the lamp. What is your wish? Aladdin! Oh, I am glad to see you. And is that... Wait! The genie of the ring! Guilty! How are you, me old friend? Haven't seen you for years. Ha! Make that hundreds of years. Ha ha! Oh, yes, very good.
Excuse me. I hate to break up the genie reunion, said Aladdin, but we'd like to go home now. Genie of the lamp, please take all of us and the palace back to the Emperor's city.
Master Aladdin, your wish is my command.
When the people of the Emperor's city woke up the next morning, the palace of Aladdin and Yasmin had magically returned. The prince and princess were back. It was as if it had all been a dream. The emperor was so overjoyed to see Yasmin, and as soon as she told him what had really happened, the wicked magician was thrown into the dungeons to await his death. He woke up in chains. But even though the magician had been awfully cruel, greedy, selfish, Aladdin felt that killing him was not a princely thing to do. And so he asked the genie of the lamp to take away the magician's powers, for he would never use them for good, and to transform him forevermore into an eagle, so that he could soar high up in the mountains, free of the desperate ache for riches and power. Aladdin's mother came to live at the palace, and she never had to wash another pair of pants again. And finally, when the city had become great indeed, and all lived peacefully and happily, Yasmin and Aladdin summoned the two genies before them, and they each wished one final wish.
O great genie of the ring, I wish for you to be free.
I'm free!
And the two genies swirled and whirled in a vortex of green and purple smoke, up and on across the skies, past the moon, the sun, and through the stars and swirling galaxies, and into the vast shimmering beauty of the universe. Free. When the emperor died, Aladdin and Yasmin ruled together, granting the wishes of the people wherever and whenever they could. And they all lived happily ever after. The end. So, listeners, did you like part two of Aladdin? What was your favourite bit? My favourite bit of this part was definitely the escape plan. The magician really does take a sleeping potion in the older versions. But transforming all the guards into farmyard animals? Yeah, that might have been my idea. So that's it for this episode. Huge thanks to Kim from Super Great Kids Stories for her brilliant story of the Owl Girls. And we'll have another guest teller coming soon. And remember to come join our Patreon club
you get ad-free episodes, shout-outs, and extra stories. We'll also be taking a little Christmas break for 2 weeks. We'll still be releasing a lost story every week, but our next new story will be out on January 16th in 2026. So make sure you keep an ear out for it. And thank you so much. You have been listening to Dragonfly Tales with Emily. And from all of us here, Emily, Leo and Andy, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a sparkling New Year. And in 2026, we hope all your wishes come true. Now go to bed. Santa's coming. Bye.
Our podcast is brought to you by Emily, Andy and Leo at Dragonfly Tales UK. Come and join our Patreon club for shout-outs, extra stories and ad-free content. Search Dragonfly Tales to follow us on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. Thanks for listening.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.